Woe is me, right? Here he is, standing before God. Woe is me. We can relate to that somewhere in our lives too, can we not? Where, you know, the car all of a sudden breaks down. Woe is me. All of a sudden, something happens in our lives. We only can see that moment. Kind of goes back to what Paul talked about last week. But when you have so many of those things, when you have so many things that you think that are happening at the same time, your car breaks down, you get a bad medical diagnosis, the finances aren't the great, this, what happens? Before you know it, you're tired. You're burned out. What happened to Elijah? He was burned out. Like us, like Elijah, he needed a new beginning. I went to a workshop right after COVID. It was the first time getting a chance to go to a workshop outside, and it was in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And there was this counselor. It was a training about how you relate scriptural texts after COVID. And one of the things this leader shared was that burnout was a natural result of not being fed spiritually. In other words, what they were saying was that only people who experience burnout are people who are not in a proper relationship with God, that they had lost their God perspective. I have to be honest. When this leader said this statement and spent 20 to 25 minutes on this topic, I got up and left the room. I was adamantly opposed to this statement. Remember COVID, right? Remember the year we all couldn't really see each other? And even though we're having bouts of it again in our world, but we're at least able to be in connection with one another. The church, in my perspective, in Ohio, where we were trying to do remote church and virtual church, I am an extrovert. I love people. I love talking to people. I can spend all day being in just talking and being in physical presence. Oh, but when it's a year, when you can't actually touch anyone and all you can see is on the screen, I love technology, don't get me wrong. We wouldn't have these things if I didn't love technology. I love technology. But when you can't touch, can't hug, can't physically be in presence, coming out of COVID and at this, of course, this training, I felt very connected to God. I felt that we were doing good things for the kingdom of God, even though it was different. And then hear this, but I did feel that I was tired, ready to go back to actually worship in person. And then this counselor, or this leader, offered this notion to have a proper relationship with God. If we are burned out, we have lost God's perspective. Again, it is what I needed to hear that day. It's not what I wanted to hear that day. I did leave that room. I went going through scripture like I'm going to prove this leader wrong. But then God spoke to me. God spoke to me. Because after thinking about it, praying about it, walking up and down the halls a few times, I did return. Because I think they were on to something. I think it's also true of Elijah here too. How do I know that? Why do I know that? Because after that encounter with God, on the mountain with God, that encouragement, that presence, Elijah was able to go on. Sometimes we view these things that are happening. All I could see was, I'm doing it. We're doing church. We're making it through COVID. But where was God in that perspective? All I was talking about is Bruce, about what Bruce was doing. Woe is me, right? This morning, maybe you need a new beginning. Because you feel burned out, carrying the load, whatever that may be. But God is here. God is ready to help you. We just have to change our focus. I hope you won't walk out into the narthex in the middle of my sermon in that moment. But it is important to recognize God. When God, we are in that close walk with God, in that relationship with Him, it gives us a different perspective. The second person I want to talk about this morning and share in Scripture is Peter. Now, of course, Peter is one of the 12 main disciples of Jesus. And of course, he was a leader of the early church. He was a Jewish fisherman and a brother of Andrew. As you may know, Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter, meaning rock. And he also, when he confessed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, this morning you may think you need a new beginning because of some failure that has occurred this past year. Maybe you feel as a failure as a spouse, a parent, just a person that follows God. Maybe you feel that you've messed up the finances. But I think this lesson of Peter, no matter how we may feel our failure is, there's still a new beginning. Because let's talk about Peter's failures, per se. We could speak about the time that he was washing Jesus' feet. Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, let's get that right. And when he got to Peter, what did he say to Jesus? No, you won't wash my feet unless you, and Jesus responds, unless you, let me try this again. Jesus answered, unless you wash you, you have no part of me. Then the Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Or maybe we can mention his most famous failure, denying Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. We all have something. We all have something we think, I can't go to God with that. My shortcoming is too big. I've done this and wherever. But if you think for one moment that God is going to give Peter all those second and third and fourth and ninth chances and not give us any, we'd be wrong. We also get those multiple chances. It doesn't matter where we think we may have failed in life. It is focusing on God. Our key principle for this morning, if you get nothing else out of this message this morning, is that God is just waiting to give you that new beginning. But it's got to be about God, not about us. The last, third, and final person, we find this in the parables. As we looked at Luke 15, of course, this gospel story, I almost, because some of you know that I changed my scriptural text late into the week, I almost changed my title instead of take two to what this last part of the text was, let's get the party started. Yes, you can laugh and go groan and go, thank goodness he didn't choose that. But it would have been theologically appropriate for what this passage, this parable shared. Because we do see in this Luke 15, in this New Testament passage, that Jesus shared is about the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and of course the prodigal son. We hear whatever is lost is found, that joy in heaven. And Luke tells these parables in a response that there is Pharisees and scribes grumbling over the wrong sorts of people that Jesus is having dinner with. These stories are meant to move the grumpy righteous people away from their complaining to a sense of joy and fellowship. And no matter how lost they become, God will seek, find them. God will seek us and find us and will throw a huge party. Of course, there Luke is very quick to interpret these stories by saying there is joy in the presence of the angel God over one sinner who repents. But let us note here that the repentance is not exactly in the sheep or the coin's wheelhouse. I don't think that dollar bill knows how to repent. They don't have any knowledge exactly how to do it. And as I read in another article this week from Amy Levine, which is a scholar, points out that the first century Jews would have not read into God's role as a shepherd or a sweeping woman or forgiving father at all. In fact, she suggests that we have looked at these stories wrong, that really it is a story of a lost sheep or a coin or the prodigal son, that they would have heard it, that it was a guy who lost the sheep, a woman who lost the coin, and a father who lost her son. I think it helps us to see the shift in this thinking from our thinking to what they would have seen. We have history. We have hundreds of years, thousands of years of looking back. But how they would have interpreted in this very moment when they heard this story. Stories are about people losing, searching, finding, and yes, rejoicing. Those are powerful words for us as people of God that have lost a lot. Many of us have lost people, friends and family over the last several years. If it's a pandemic, if it's just the stage of life, moving to a different part of the world. But there's other things we lost too along the way. The chances of those fellowship moments that have come over the time. Or sometimes if you turn on the news at night or in the morning, it's hard to go to sleep, is it not? Sometimes all we can worry about is what's happening in our world. Their sense of hope. Sense of hope seems so lost. Maybe the article that I started with from the New York Times is right about how can we have fun anymore? It can seem so heavy, burdensome. Maybe we cannot even agree how to have fun anymore. But these passages this week that we are looking at, there is hope, especially in this final part of the parable with the prodigal son. Because this is the story, of course, as we read, where the father had two sons. And the one son determined he wanted to go away. He wanted to be gone. And so he went to his father, which he wouldn't get his inheritance until his father was dead. And it wasn't about that, but he wanted to go be adventurous, see the world. You probably can relate to that in some regards. And so he goes to his father and says, I want my inheritance now. Imagine what we would say if our son or daughter would come and ask us that. Probably like, nope. But the father said, sure, here you go. See you later. And he went off and discovered the world. But we know what happened. Before long, he ran out of money. And all of a sudden, he was cleaning up pig slop. When he was thinking about what was happening back at his father's house, that they were enjoying a nice meal, prime rib. And here he is off doing this work. And so he makes a decision. I'm going back to see my father. Now let's just pause there just for one moment. Let's think about it on our lives. When we've done something, we know that we have to go see a friend, a spouse, a parent. We've done something, we know that we are going to be in trouble. We stayed out past when the lights came on, past curfew, and we come home and all of a sudden we know we're going to be in trouble. We're going to try to sneak past. Or when we see somebody out at the grocery store, we know that we didn't have a great conversation with them, and we go the next aisle because we don't have to have that relation, that conversation. We've all been there, right? We know that those conversations are not going to turn out well. But what happens here? He goes back, and I'm sure those thoughts are going through his head, and his father learns that his son is arriving, and he doesn't yell. He doesn't scream. He doesn't do anything. What does he do? He embraces him. He hugs him. And then throws him a humongous party. Now there is more to this story that we will spend on a different day because there is the other brother. Though he did remind him in the passage that you were always with me. You were always here. You already had access to everything. He welcomed his only son away. That is remarkable. Think of us and our relationships. Are we as loving and forgiving to open our arms? You may relate to one of these three. Maybe we're not running away from a spouse or a parent, but there's something in our lives that we run away from. Maybe you don't want to see the pastor in aisle 2 at the grocery store, so you go to aisle 3. Maybe there's something. We go a different way home. We go a different way out of the church, so we don't have to encounter someone. We may not be physically running away, but we are somewhere in our lives. We are running away from a situation. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's spouse. Maybe it's running away from God. But God, the lesson this morning is God is trying to reach out. He's trying to make a connection. Whatever it may be, whatever we may be running from, we probably need a new beginning. I know. It's easy to say, we need a new beginning, and it's done. It takes work. It's not easy. But just like this picture, just like Jesus and God, He has His arms wide open. You may feel that you have been in the trenches for so long, and all you can see is the crises at the moment. But God is still present. We just have to focus our eyes upon Him for that energy and that strength that there is something bigger in play. We may feel that our shortcomings outweigh our connection with God. It gets in the way of our signal. But that's not the case. We have to remember many before us also have struggled through life. But what did they find? They found people. They found God that showed them the way forward. Just like you and I, we have each other. When we lose our way for a moment, when we think we can't be connected, you and I come along. And what happens when that happens? Jesus. And God is waiting for us. Just as the prodigal son was waiting, his dad was waiting for him. God and Jesus is waiting for us. We just have to be willing to come back and to focus on God. Because we'll get a take 2. We'll get a take 3. We'll get a take 20. But when we come back to God and realize that He's in all of the details, God's work and ministry will continue through each of us because He has called us for this moment to be His church in the season of new beginnings. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for the joy that You give us to be Your church. God, You know my heart, the shortcomings, the imperfect moments, and sometimes when I focus on the wrong things. But God, I believe You don't care about those things. You care that we come back to You, that we focus our eyes upon You. God, as we begin this new beginnings, as we try to understand the world around us, of who we are as individuals, what gifts and talents You have given each of us, and where You may want to send us. We focus our eyes upon You, knowing that You sent Your only Son to us, for us, even and to take our sins and our shortcomings, and sometimes our perspectives, that we turn our focus back, that we give You honor and praise and glory as we worship, and we thank You for the take 2, the second chances, the third chances, and the 135th chance, because You are a God of love and peace and joy, and we are thankful that You have called us to be church, Your people, wherever we go. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.